probably got all kinds of reasons to desert him if he hasn't done it yet. That's probably a little pressure.
I'm fine. This is the day that'll get us going. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to see everybody here today. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. That's great. Love it. Hope everybody has a great Father's Day. All right, so we have Adult Sunday School, and it's been great. We're studying our daily bread, and it's been a great blessing to all of us. So we have the food pantry. We have gleaners. If you need somebody, I've always said call Sherry, but you might not know Sherry's phone number, but if you call the church and leave a message, they're the one that pick up the messages, so they make sure we get it. All right. Also, there's a flyer that goes along. No? Wait. Okay. Prayer meeting on Wednesday. I'll go along with whatever you have. Prayer meeting on Wednesday. You can click the thing on the website. Next, July 2nd is Potluck Sunday. And we thought, because it's 4th of July weekend, we thought we would barbecue hot dogs and hamburgers. So if everybody plan on bringing side dishes, might people have hot dogs and hamburgers to go along with it. That'll be fun. Yes, for the next potluck on July 2nd. So Dan and Marie are going to be celebrating their 58th wedding anniversary. And here they are both in a nursing home. So we decided we would try and get people to send them a card so they get a shower of anniversary cards for their anniversary. And if you want to take the card instead and go see them, I know they would welcome visitors too. So it's so hard. We are very, so I have their address on here. Debbie did a great job. She even put their picture. Look at that. Oh, such fun pictures. So we just encourage you to come and send them a card or go see them or whatever you want to do. But 58 years is a big milestone for them, so it'll be fun for them. They would love it. Love it, love it. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to have you here, Lord, and we just praise you for being our Heavenly Father, Lord. And as we celebrate Father's Day, to just remember who our Savior is. And Father God, we just ask a blessing on this service. We might be few in number, Lord, but we just come to praise your name and just give you all the glory. We just ask that you be with us as we sing the songs. Let them be music to your ears. Be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the message. Be with Debbie and Jean as they do the electronics, Lord, and just Carolyn as she plays. And we just give you all the glory and the blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's stand and go to our call to worship. And it is Ephesians 2:10.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago.
Oh, we talked about that in Sunday school. God has a plan for us, and we are just so blessed that we are in his hand. So we're going to start with, this is the day. People that are cold, we can just
warm up.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. And this next one just fits right with it. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yield and his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen.
Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we linger when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Wait then and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. You is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. And pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I
I don't know if you heard her, but she said, my pleasure. Ivan has a request for prayer, and I'm going to start just for a little bit. No, what's your praises? I got to start with praises. I'm going to share praise today. We've been noticing some briars really bad here in the back of the church, and I started working on them and got them taken care of before church started, and God blessed me with a wonderful gift, and that was a nice deer to watch, and I'm so blessed. Judy and I were just talking about it. When we do that, God just gives us this moment of blessing. You know, you feel this warmth in your heart from God. I had a wonderful conversation with Scott this morning. We were talking about various things in our lives. What a blessing! What a blessing that we can listen to each other. Happy Father's Day. That's a blessing. Happy Father's Day today. Any blessings that you'd like to share? Praises? Blessings? Jeremy has one. He's going like this in the back. I know he's going to raise his hand. What's it, Jer? Two, he says. Jer's. Jeremy. Okay, he has a praise and a prayer all at once. course, too. We went to the specialists, and they referred us to the orthodontic school that specializes. He specializes in root canals, and Jeremy is just so impressed because they'll be half the fee. And so that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. What's your other one, Jeremy? Oh, yes. We're going to be taking a trip here really soon. So he's really pumped and excited about seeing his aunt and uncle in Canada. And so we're going to be prayers for a safe trip up there, right? And get across the border both ways, right? But anyway, we really got a blessing there. I've got that one. All right. Any other praises or prayer requests? Carolyn. And they're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
Carolyn was sharing about the blessings of their roses, that God's blessed with vibrant colors of excitement, colors of thrillment. And God blesses us with that fragrance. Oh, I love the fragrance of a rose. Judy had one, then Fred. Isn't that wonderful? Awesome. Judy shared a praise about her great-granddaughter who just had her fifth birthday and had 45 guests for a five-year-old birthday, and that's on both sides of the family, right? And it was such a blessing. I think who got the real blessing was Judy got to see all these kids having so much fun in the bouncy house and all family. Wow. No. Get to see their great grandparents. What a blessing. That's wonderful, wonderful. Having great grandparents at a five-year-old's birthday is pretty, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Fred. Well, we're praying that he is a local boy again. All right. All right. Any prayer? Yeah, hold it. I see you. Yes, Debbie. Debbie shared a praise and a prayer concern, all in one, concerning her nephew, James, admitting that he has an addiction to alcohol and some pop and pills, and he got admitted to the hospital. And Debbie, he admitted this stuff to Debbie, and Debbie's heart is just really praying. She's witnessing. We want to keep on praying for that witness to get stronger. He's real receptive to prayer, even appreciated that 6 times, was that right? Did I get that right? And that is a real miracle for James. It's a real miracle that Debbie was there to hear it. We just want to give you praise, Debbie. Give God the praise. Excuse me. Give God the praise for Debbie for being there. And we'll just lift up that witness, and we'll lift up James. Judy shared concerning a phone call with Wink Weber that he had a rough night last night, but also he also had a praise to share about their little grandson, Jacob, who's 5 years old. Is that right? He's a friend. Okay, my apologies. Okay, close friend of Paige, their daughter, and he is in remission of cancer now. And so we want to give that praise. Yeah. Thank you for clarification. I don't always repeat things correctly, if you've noticed. So, any other requests? Donna? I'm looking at you, Carolyn. Donna shared with a praise concerning our son, Jeff Marble. Jeff had major ankle surgery, and the doctors are astonished. The therapist is astonished at the recovery he's doing. And I can just hear Jeff. Jeff had sent me a picture without his cast on, without the boot. And I know Jeff, he wants to go out fishing. But he's just very, very excited. We're excited. God answers prayer. Don also shared concerning Pastor Joel Collier is still a little bit better, but still fighting dizziness. And so we want to lift him up in prayer. Continuing. And Carolyn. That is awesome. That is awesome. Carolyn was sharing how God, through her devotion, saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. Hello, I'm talking to you, you need to do this. You didn't use that phrase. But the emphasis, when God's really talking to us, he's talking to you for a reason. He's talking to us for a reason. Ivan won't be here today, as you know, so I'm filling in. And Ivan, I don't know how he does it. He's got Claire in the hospital ER with tonsillitis, really sick. He's got Landon at home with a bellyache and doesn't feel good. And so we want to lift up Landon and Claire and the whole family. The whole family. And we know that there's struggles with allergies there too. And so let's lift them up. Any others? Carolyn just shared that Lou Carabinas can't find his hearing aids, and they've been going through the house. And now that school's out, now the team, the whole family has, they're going to go in there and help them find these hearing aids. We were talking about in Sunday school today, hello, God never forgets. We as humans forget. Boy, what a circle I see. Well, shall we pray? God, you are to be honestly praised for a wonderful summer light rain, and with a aroma, petrichor, I believe is what we call it. God, I love the smell. I love the fragrance. I love the pitter-patter of the rain. We need that rain to dampen the fire hazards. We need that rain to make the grass green. We need the rain to make our crops grow. God, we want to give you praise and the glory for this. We want to give you praise and glory that these individuals here in your congregation here in Galesburg can lift up each other with praise and prayer concerns, that you are part of our lives. And we want to say thank you, God. God, you are to be glorified above all. God, we want to lift up Ivan with his request, with Claire with tonsillitis, Landon with his belly pain, Lord. We want to just pray, God, that you touch him and heal each one. Heal Lou Carabinas. Help him find his hearing aids that he can hear, Lord. Those that are traveling soon, whether they are traveling now or traveling here next week on their journeys, Lord, we pray, God, that you give us safe traveling mercies, God, that you're involved in our lives. God, we pray for Linda's niece, Stephanie, Lord. Just touch her, Lord. Touch Linda, Lord. Lord, we just praise you, God, that we can come to you and lift this need up to you. God, thank you for Wink and Phyllis Weber, God. Just pray for Wink that you comfort him and give him peace, God, a peace that's beyond all understanding. And help Phyllis to be able to be healed from her ailments, Lord. Lately, she's been really sick. We just want to pray for her, Lord. Pray for little Jacob, God. The praise of the cancer being in remission. We just can't give you enough praise there, God. Thank you, God, that we can come to you with this. Pray for Mike Johnson. This is Josh Culver's cousin. He's lifted him up and many times in prayer. The loss of his leg, the condition with his wife, with Mike's wife, God. We just want to give you the praise and the glory here, God. Help this family. Strengthen this family. empower this family for your glory. God, Josh is so exciting for you, and he just wants to talk to you and praise people about you and witness. And God, just thank you for Josh. God, we just want to praise, Lord, for the things that you're helping with Tony Marble, with his job concerns, with Oregon City and Sherwood, God. Sometimes, God, you open up both doors, and then we given a choice, Lord. Well, we just pray for that right now, God. God, you are so wonderful, God. Blessing Debbie with the witness, the encouragement that she and Ted went through with their own addiction and with their healing through you, Lord, with encouraging her nephew, James, God. Give her the strength. Give James the strength. Say, God, I need you. I need you now in my life. Change my life for your glory. God, we want to praise you for the recovery of Jeff, Lord, with his ankle. We want to praise you, Lord, for Pastor Joel, Lord, and yet prayer concerns too, God. I personally, God, am blessed that I can be before you praying for each one of us to be stronger in you, stronger in your word, stronger in our walk, stronger in our hearts and minds, God. I praise you that I got to talk with Mike some this morning. I want to praise you, God, that I got to speak with Scott. And we shared some neat things, God. Thank you, God. I can't say enough praise for those moments. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As our pastor, Teresa's coming up. Oh. I jump. Oh, boy. I just don't do this enough, right? As Pastor Ivan says, kiddos. And we are the kiddos. How many here know everything? We have two people, they say, I do. Well, my hands aren't going up. I don't know everything. I don't really want to know everything. Do we have a song? Do
yeah, so this is going to be a
ready? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Yay! Oh, we're not done. Oh, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Now I've got to share just a little tiny bit of humor. We used to sing that years ago here, and we'd have the guys do the hallelujah and the girls do the praise to the Lord. Well, there's this sweet lady that always got them mixed up. She would stand in the wrong place, and I saw Donna and I saw that smile, and we were both thinking of this wonderful, sweet gal. All right. As we are kiddos, God, we just pray for your kids. Me, us, all of us. God, protect us. give us a soft tap on the head with a baseball bat at times too. Give us your love. Embrace us with your Holy Spirit. Be strong in us. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Spatial prayer request. A sister has misplaced her car keys, and we're going to ask for God's protection right now. God, we just pray for Helen, God, that we find her keys. Show us where the keys are, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're going to give you all the praise and the glory right now. We're going to give you the praise of the victory in you that we found the keys. In Jesus' name, we found the keys. You found the keys. You directed us to where they are. God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Bill, for standing in for Pastor Ivan. Praise the Lord. It is a beautiful day. We're just going to jump into the word. And again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Lord bless you. You know, we couldn't do it. We couldn't be family without our dads, right? Yeah, we need our fathers. And I think of the men who have not birthed children. You know, they don't have blood kids, but they have fathered because they've been fathering in the kingdom of God. They've been mentoring other people's kids, and they've been helping others along the way. So in that regard, they are spiritual fathers. So God bless them too. And we are thankful for all the fathers out there. So our topic today is pray to the Lord of the harvest. There's a movie that was based on a book, of course, that came out in 2014. The movie was called Heaven is for Real. Did anybody see that movie, Heaven is for Real? Yeah, so let me remind you that hell is for real. People always talk about going to heaven, but you know, this, you do have to realize that there also is a hell, right? Year after year, when random people are polled about heaven, the vast majority believe that if you're good, you'll go to heaven when you die, regardless of your belief in God or Jesus. And the one thing that is good about that statistic is that those who believe in heaven also believe in hell. It would be a bad thing to only believe in heaven. The main reason being, if you believe only in the reward of God, you overlook the fact that God is a God of justice, and that in the end, those who do not qualify for heaven will get their due justice and be cast into hell for eternity. You'll have to live without God for eternity. That's a horrible thing to even try to think about, but that is our reality. So therefore, we can't simply live as though that there is no God who will judge us, nor should we take justice into our own hands because we believe that God will not do his part. There's a lot of that going around these days. Well, I'm just going to go and like, no, stop that. We don't get to be the judge. God is the judge. We must trust that he will do his part. But hold on to your thoughts about justice, because we may come back to that later. But what we want to do is turn our thoughts to Scripture and see what the Scripture says. So today we're going to talk about what we should be praying for. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read through the end and then spill over into chapter 10. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation, but read whichever translation you prefer. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." So, he says, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Interesting words for Jesus to say to giving them those instructions to carry out his ministry that he began. So this passage that we just read is really a call to action. And we look back and we think, oh, he was talking to those 12. But remember, Jesus actually extended his ministry to us because we are his modern day disciples. So although those 12 are listed there, he's calling us to that same ministry. He is calling us to do things for his glory, to build the kingdom of God. And so he reminds us of three primary things. He reminds us in this particular passage of scripture, the role of prayer, because he tells them what to pray for. He gives them the mission. And then he also has this sense of urgency. And we too must have that sense of urgency. So let's review the surrounding text. If you go back to the top of chapter 9, Jesus is recorded healing a paralyzed man. Some of the religious leaders take offense because he doesn't just heal the man. It's what he says. It's like sometimes you're like, oh, Jesus, just don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just do. But he says something. He tells the man his sins are forgiven. All of the religious leaders are, what on earth? Everybody knows. You don't have to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe. Every good Jew knows it is only God who can forgive sins. How dare he say such things? Jesus declares forgiveness, and then he performs the miracle to show the people that he has truly been sent from God the Father, and therefore can forgive sins. But they take offense to it. And then, after doing that, he calls Matthew a tax collector. Again, what in the world, Jesus? What in the world? He calls a tax collector to be one of his disciples. And the religious leaders question Jesus' methods and his judgment. Now, if he wants to be a rabbi, which is what the people are calling him, why in the world is he hanging out with those people over there? He can't possibly be from God and hang out with such irreparable people. What does Jesus do? What does he respond with? He just responds that sick people don't need a doctor. So he explains his mission to those naysayers. Sick people don't need a doctor. Doctors are for people who actually have illnesses. They have ailments. That's why you go to the doctor. So he says to them, his mission is to reach out to those who know that they are sinners. He's not there for the righteous. I'm here for the sinners, Jesus says. And so then there's a string of healings and miracles that Jesus does that are recorded in that chapter. There's a man's daughter who dies. He resurrects her. He gives sight to at least 3 blind people. And he casts out demons. Now, it's really interesting, again, that the naysayers would go, well, that's because he's one of them. He's the devil himself. That's why he can cast them out. But yeah, it's like, that's bad logic. Why would the devil cast out another devil? That's dividing your own team and dividing the power that you have. So no, Jesus isn't one of them. He's there working on God's behalf. So then when you get to verse 35, Jesus has traveled to a lot of places. He's healed a lot of people. When he sees the next group of people, he has compassion on them. He weeps in his heart for them. And he compares them to a flock of sheep without a shepherd. Who's going to protect them? Who's going to provide for them? Who's going to lead them? Who's going to guide them? They need God's salvation. He realizes how many are lost and are in need of God. The scripture describes the crowds as confused and helpless. Now, not much has changed since way back then, Sister Carolyn. There's a whole lot of people on this planet who are confused and helpless. So this is when he draws the conclusion that there's plenty of folk who need God, but then he realizes there's not enough preachers, teachers, witnesses to show others the way. It's fascinating for Jesus to stand there and make that conclusion, like, whoa, look at all these people who need to know God. And yet, there's not enough witnesses to tell all the people about God. So this is why he instructs his disciples to pray. Pray for what, Jesus? Pray for protection and wisdom? Pray for vision? Because, you know, if you're going to have a church, you got to have vision. You got to cast that vision so that people can come alongside. We need money for ministry, and we need food, and we need shelter, and we need traveling, you know, transportation to get to all the places, those long distances. We need to pray for hearts to be softened to the voice of the Spirit, and so that they'll accept salvation. These are all the things we should be praying for, right, Jesus? Jesus is like, well, I mean, yeah, that's nice. But the priority really is praying for more witnesses. We need more laborers. We don't need fundraisers. We don't need, you know, services just to be having vacation Bible school and Sunday morning service. We need people who will actually go and be witnesses. So this has to be an error in this recording of the scripture, because we've been taught, at least I know I have been, we're supposed to pray for the lost. If you've ever gone witnessing, if you've ever passed out tracts or preaching in the streets or leading services at homeless shelters, prisons, truck stops, you name it, you know that the team leader is always going to have a prayer team, certain people on the team praying. We need to pray for God's, you know, to work in their hearts. And that is true. So we should be praying for the lost, right? Yes, we should be. But how are they really going to get saved? Not because we just simply pray them into the kingdom. I would argue that our lives are the testimony that will win them over, right? You can pray and pray and pray, but really it's not about you just praying. It's about you doing and being the person that God created you to be. Amen? Your life lived before people is what interests them in God. They say to themselves, oh yeah, who cares about God? I have many things to do. I want to be the boss of my own life. We talked about this in Sunday school. I got things I want to do. I don't have time for your rules and regulations. And yet, if we just show who God is, people around us will begin to know, there's something different about Debbie. Not different in a bad way, different in a good way. Right? It piques their interest and then they want to know more. How is it that you can still smile? How is it that you can still be jovial when I know that there's a lot of things going on in your life that could weigh you down? And yet here you are, still standing, still smiling, still going. It's because of the God that lives in you. So when you're letting your light shine and when you're being gracious and being loving and being kind and being patient, it shows others. So this is why Jesus says, yeah, it's okay to pray for that, but really I need you to be praying that there'll be more people who will be more witnesses. Because there's lots of people who need to know about the love of God. There's only one you. You can't go and witness to all the people, just like Jesus himself couldn't go and witness to all the people. So he says, focus your prayers on praying for God to send more worker bees to take care of this harvest. It's the Holy Spirit who has the opportunity to do his part, to draw people to salvation, but we first have to plant those seeds and be salt and light. So, yeah, let's pray for the loss, but do more than that. Let's be a laborer and pray for more laborers. Now, why would Jesus put the emphasis on praying for laborers? Well, one reason is this. They were outnumbered just like we are today. The Jews were the first to know about the Messiah's coming. The vast majority were still waiting. And then there were non-Jews who didn't have a clue anything about a Messiah, the idea of a Messiah. And it's no different today, right? It's quite similar today. There's a small number who believe, and there's a larger number that do not. Now, as of 2017, a third of the Earth's 7.3 billion, that's a lot of people, y'all, population is Christian. So that means there's like about 2.4 billion people who are Christian. But someone pointed out in Sunday school today, yeah, but just because they call themselves Christian doesn't mean. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's fair. So, but that's even more of a reason why we need to pray for more laborers. Because there's really less than a third of the people on the planet who name the name of Christ. How in the world is the other two-thirds supposed to know who God is? It's our job to live our lives for them. And those stats come from the Pew Research Center. And by the way, the Research Center projects that those numbers will even change more because Christianity is slated to become the second religion around the world next to Islam. Because they're going to be growing and outnumbering us as early as 2035. So I know that's a decade away. It's not a lot of time. So yeah. We've got our work cut out for us. If we're going to be successful at witnessing, we've got to have more bodies to witness. And we need people living in all parts of the world, speaking all types of languages, shedding the light of Christ to all we encounter. Not just the people who look like us, not just the people who dress like us, not just the people who have gone to the same denomination or church or blah, blah, blah like us. We need to embrace everyone and be willing to be used by God. So besides being outnumbered, the quality of Christianity affects convert retention. And what do I mean by convert retention? It's once a person actually says, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in God, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the chances of his or her remaining saved and not backsliding is what we call retention, that retention piece. We talked a little bit about this earlier in Sunday school as well. The role models and Christian mentors that we have play a huge role in us growing up, right, in Christ, maturing in Christ, and staying with God throughout our lifetime. Which is why it's important that we pray over our kids, that we show them who Jesus is. Not just tell them, but show them who God is. So that God is real for them in their life. And so as they grow up, they may stray, they may do things, they may act different. And you're like, oh my goodness, did they even know Jesus? Yes, they know Jesus, right? He's in their heart now. It's not just a religious thing to do, go to church on Sunday and then go and live however you want the rest of the week. God actually stays with you. And so this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. I need you to be praying for more mentors who are actually going to live for God and are going to be willing to open up their lives to the people around them. And I know that's what makes people shy about witnessing, because they think, oh, I've got to memorize all these scriptures and I got to have them ready. Or when they ask me questions, like, yeah, no, that's actually not what you need to do. You just need to live your life for God and allow people into your life so that when they see Sister Carolyn, the hard times, the struggles, the illness, the job loss, the whatever, whatever, they see that you are still managing, that you are still able to overcome those challenges. And they go, how can you do that? And then you say, oh, it's because of my faith in God. God has helped me with all of these things. I remember when I was younger and blah, 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 blah. Right? But if you don't get to know people because they're over there and they're bad people, those people over there, guess what? It's a missed opportunity. You're actually not doing your job. I know it sounds crazy because you think it's the pastor's job to go and to preach to all those people so that they'll come to Christ. It's actually not just the pastor's job. Every single last one of us gets to be a witness for God, who he is in our life. So don't be shy. Don't be afraid of sharing. Oh man, I have some great news. I was so afraid that my little nephew was gonna die because he had a cancer diagnosed over him and he's just a kid. So I started praying. I got my friends to pray and guess what? He's all better now. That blows the socks off of a non-believer to go, wait, what? I know that little boy and he was supposed to be dead by now. And he's still alive. It's not because of modern science. It's because of God. God using medical science and also his Holy Spirit, right? So those are the things that we're supposed to be doing. That's how we can open up our lives so that we can be better witnesses and also praying that God will send more. How many times have you heard someone blame church for why they're not active in church? Don't even raise your hands. Because I know everybody's going to raise their hand. Reasons that they've walked away from God. Here's a list. This church is too small. That church is too big. That church over there, they're too urban. I don't like them. Those people, they're stuck up. Not going to their church again. Those guys, they hold church way too long. I remember thinking that about my God sister's church. Because as a kid, so in my church, we were more, we were closer to a Lutheran tradition. So, you know, church was maybe hour 15 to hour and a half. But Sister Susie, when I went to my God sister's church, So for some of us, we want to love Jesus. But can we not be there all day? So there's that. And then there's our wonderful friends on TV, our televangelists. We love them and we also, can y'all just take it down a notch? Because there's some good things about that and there's some bad things, right? People who are just always asking for money so they can build their personal kingdom and not build the kingdom of God. People can see through that. They can see through it. So, yeah, it's a challenge for us, Sister Linda. It's a challenge. But, you know, the excuses are endless. There's thousands of reasons. You had a falling out with your cousin, so you don't want to go to that same congregation because your cousin still goes there. Okay, well, there's like 1,000 other churches. But, you know, your logic is bad at that point because you have decided for whatever reason you're not going to go. And it's those people that God's heart breaks for because they know him. And yet they've allowed the human beings who are imperfect around them to turn their hearts away from God. So God is saying, don't be that person. Win them back. Pray for others to be placed in their lives that will help mentor them and get them back to God. So we need some quality Christians, and that's what we should be praying for. People who practice prayer, people who practice reading their Bibles and studying it to get a good understanding, sincere about putting God's word to use in their daily life. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. Not that you memorize scripture so that you can show other people their faults and their shortcomings. You're memorizing scripture so that you can use it to fight the enemy of our souls, to stand firm on God's word and his promises for his glory, not for your own. So we can't afford to be Sunday saints. We can't afford to come here to church each week, be with us on the prayer on Wednesday nights, and, you know, carry a nice big Bible. That really, it doesn't mean anything to God. I know there's a lot of Christians who want to have their little bumper stickers, what would Jesus do, and all the things. Like, that actually does a lot of harm. Because when people see those nice little stickers about what would Jesus do, and you're cutting them off, or you're cussing them out, or you're doing whatever, that's not cool. It's not a good witness. It really isn't. It's not helpful. So let's try not to do those things. Try to have a conversation with them about who God is in your life. And say, you know, despite my shortcomings, God is still with me. And he keeps me, and he's helping me. And I know that he can help you too. Just like Uncle Sam's poster since the War of 1812, Jesus is saying he needs you to be an upright witness for him. He's looking for men, he's looking for women, boys, girls, to not only tell others about Christ, but to actually live Christ-focused and Christ-centered lives before others. He needs older saints who are willing to invest in the future generations, who will show them how to minister and how to live godly lives, not criticize their clothing or their hairstyles, but just to remind them of how God saw you through and how he can see them through, and that you're praying for them regularly, right? That is so encouraging when you hear another saint of God say, hey, I'm praying for you. I am praying that God will bless you this week. I am praying that he will see you through this XYZ. That's what encourages people and keeps people wanting to grow in Christ. They don't need us to be on their backs about how things are so imperfect. Oh, Sister Debbie, if I had money for all the days that people would say, well, when I was your age, we did this and we sang these songs in church. And this is how we ushered. And this is how we ran Sunday school and vacation Bible school. You young people, you just don't know what you're doing. Like, I would have a lot of money, Sister Debbie. Seriously. If I got paid for all the times I heard that. Again, not helpful. Not helpful. Come alongside and work with me. Come alongside and again, pray for me. Say, you know what? I'm up in age now. I don't have the energy that I used to have. I can't do the things, but I can sure enough do this. I can pray for you. How do you want me to pray for you? What do you need help with? Okay, let me call so-and-so and so-and-so because maybe they can come and help you, right? People need that. So simply telling me how it was back in the day is not helpful. We need to connect our stories to what's happening right here and right now. example, how did you handle marital problems? I am largely impressed that we have a couple that's been married 58 years. That's longer than I've been alive. That's awesome sauce. How did they do it? Right? How did you do it? Because we're so perfect and we're so holy. Yeah, no, probably not. Probably because when things got down and dirty, you said, well, Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me grace. Help me to forgive. Help me to love. That's how you stay married for 58 years, right? That's the stories that people need to know. How did you work with your kids when they weren't listening to you, right? How did you get them back? How did you do it? How did you pray for those things? When did you pray? Those are the things that people need to know. How are you supposed to be Christ-like in this world filled with hatred and racism? How do you deal with all these things? Do you wait to die for God to bring justice and, you know, you'll get your peace once you go to heaven? Or do you seek justice here and now? And if you do, how do you go about it? How do you do that as a Christian in this world? The world we live in is lost. It's no different than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's no different than the people in Noah's day or the Tower of Babel. Humans do what they are big enough and smart enough to do. And yes, Deacon Judy says, Nineveh, name all the places, all the things. We're still the same. It doesn't matter that we probably shouldn't do those things that we're big enough to do and capable to do. We should think before we act, but we don't always do that, do we? Our conscience and our morality should be our guide and not the lusts in our hearts. But yet, that's what happens oftentimes. So the heart of man has not changed since the beginning of the world. And in our longing for God, we make ourselves God when we cannot find him fast enough. And this happens for us as believers. We pray for something. If we don't think God is moving fast enough, we try to help a brother out. And he's like, baby girl, no. See, I actually have all power, so I don't actually need your help. This is the one thing that I really want you to be doing, right? But we're steady trying to go over here. And he's like, yeah, no. Go back over here. But God, clearly you need my help. And no, he doesn't. He needs our obedience. He needs us to love him. He needs us to make him first in our lives. So don't run faster than God and try to replace him with ourself, trying to create the answer that we are wanting from God. So that's why Jesus says, pray for the laborers. He needs people who will not quit when the road gets tough. He needs people who will stand firm on the word of God and not switch teams when it looks like the enemy is winning. Okay, well, it's not working out here, so I'm just going to go over there. Like, no, don't do that. Stand firm. You know who God is. He is faithful. If you do that, then you're going to be, that is hypocrisy, actually. If we're Christian only when it's in vogue or convenient, that's when we're really not a Christian. We're definitely not fit for the kingdom. And we can't lead others to Christ and guide them into spiritual maturity if we ourselves as individuals are wishy-washy. So God says, don't be wishy-washy. So later in this passage, you have to read down through chapter 10, Jesus gives guidance on how to complete the mission. He says, don't get distracted from sharing your testimony. Stay focused and witness where people will listen. Bless those who receive the word and who receive you. And he says, don't be picky about the food and the shelter that they offer you. Whatever they give you, receive it. No matter what, stay true to the mission, which is to heal the sick and tell them the Messiah has come and that salvation is here today if you want it. It's the same ministry, the same instructions that he gives us today. Stay true to the mission. Stop worrying about building your own kingdom and help God build his. He tells them and he tells us today, those who reject you, are ultimately, they're rejecting God. So don't take it personal when they say, I'm not coming to church because that's dumb. Okay, continue to pray for them. Continue to love them because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Messiah himself. Don't get mad and storm off. And don't hate because they challenge your theology, what you believe and why you believe it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So stick to the mission. Love others. Do right by them. Continue to shine your light. And finally, Jesus reminds the disciples of the urgency of their task. Not believing in God and getting in right relationship with him leads to severe punishment. When you do not believe in God. So I know when you read scripture, you think it's the bad people who go to hell. It really isn't the bad people who go to hell. You're not actually going to hell because you're a liar or because you're a thief or you're an arsonist, a murderer, or all the things. It's because you don't believe in God. You don't believe in his Messiah. If you don't believe in God, hello, you can't go to God's heaven if you don't believe in God. This is why people don't go. So this is why you don't need to tell people, make a nice little sign, you are a sinner and you're going to hell. They already know that. They know that. They know that. They know that. Jesus himself said, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to seek the lost. So guess what? That's our job. I don't need to judge you and try to list out all 1,100. No, stop trying to list people's sins. Stop it. Your job is to love them into the kingdom. Shine your light as Jesus did. Seek those who are lost and be urgent about it because time is winding up and this world is coming to an end. And we don't want, I personally don't want any of the people I know, even the people that I don't really care for, I don't want them in hell. I don't want them in hell. This is why I'm trying my best to be the best witness that I can so that they can learn slowly about God, right? I'm not going to break out my Bible and read the scriptures to them. Now, some people that calls for because they're asking, they're actually now ready to hear what the word of God says. But for many people, they're just like, I need an answer. I need help. So let's step into that role that God has for us. Jesus teaches that we'll be like the people in the Bible. Those who know of God will be held to a greater account than those who don't know God. And we shouldn't want anyone that we know to not know God. It's our job to be the best witness that we can. The world is looking for answers. You know this. You watch it on the news. You can hear it on the radio. They need answers. They want to know who to vote for. They want to know how to stop injustices around the world. They want to interrupt poverty and bring that to a cease. They want to know how to end wars. And yet they don't know how to do it. We, the people of God, have the capital A answer. So we need to reason together and be peacemakers. We need to stop being perpetrators of hate ourselves. Stop hating others and being judgmental and love. Let's educate ourselves about our differences so we can actually respect those differences and not despise them. Because here's the deal, God made us all different. So when you say to someone you don't like them because of their difference, you're actually saying, God, I don't like how you made this person. You made them too short. You made them too tall. You made them too this, too that. Who are you to tell God, the creator of all things, that he made a mistake when he made so-and-so and so-and-so and that person across the street and those people over there? Don't ever think that you are so high and mighty. You are part of God's creation too. So accept those who are different than you. Love them because they too are created in the very image of God. He made us different so that we can capitalize off of our differences to grow his kingdom. We've heard this before when we talk about the diversity of gifts in the body of Christ. You can't have that diversity of gifts if you have all the same kind of people. It doesn't work. We need to use our differences to build the kingdom and not to destroy each other. Isaiah 1, verses 17 and 18 says this: Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, he says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is saying to us, if we follow his teachings, if we live our lives for him, they will be better. We can live in harmony with one another. We will judge wisely the poor and the widows, representing all who are less fortunate than we are. All of them will be taken care of. But we have to work together for God's glory. We can live righteously with one another and with God himself. And just as Jesus sent the 12 out, he is calling us to follow him and to be his disciples. He wants to empower us to go out and heal others, speak life when there is death, to be salt and light. So I close with this final plea, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. We need more honorable laborers. And ask that God will help us to be more honorable and loving and giving and kind, since we represent him. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your holy word that teaches us so much. We look sometimes in scripture and we say, oh, I would never be like that. And yet here we are. We're very much like that. So help us, Lord God. Grow us up in you, that when we see people who are different than us, people who are living different lifestyles, not something that we would do, help us not to be judgmental. Help us to love and be curious and inviting, and help us to shine our lights. We want to be good witnesses. We also, Lord God, want to pray that you would send more witnesses, send more laborers, because the harvest truly is ripe. There are thousands and thousands of people who have not yet heard your name, who have not yet understood the concept of God, a God who loves, a God who forgives, a God who has a heaven and a hell. Help us, God. Help us to be ready. Help us to stay ready in this day and time, because you need us to be working for your glory. You have cried over and wept over so many who are lost, so many who are standing right now doing things that are ungodly, doing things that will harm their own bodies. And yet they're looking for an answer. So help us, God. Help us to show them the way to the answer. We thank you, God, for doing this. We thank you for each and every one who comes and is a member here at Gills Creek. I ask that you would just bless us this week. Open our eyes, open our ears to your Holy Spirit. Show us how to be. Help us to listen. Help us to stop, to be kind, to share words of life with others around us, whether it's at school or at work, in the store, wherever we are, Lord God, as we travel. Open our hearts and our minds so that we can be your witnesses and grow your kingdom. We thank you, God, for choosing us. We bless your holy name. Amen and amen. Let's close with a song and then our benediction.
All right, we're going to stand and we're going to sing Bless His Holy Name.
bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's one of my favorites from when I was a kid. So yes, let us bless his holy name. And let's bless his name during this week, when we are shining our lights, when we are giving words of kindness, words of encouragement one to another, and maybe even to a complete stranger. Listen for the Holy Spirit, because he might move you to do just that this week. So go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you wherever you go. So even when you leave this place, we leave each other, but he is still with you. Blessings upon you. His grace and his peace until we meet again. Lord be with you.
Amen. Jesus, things of Christ.
What?